Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tawan Farmer. I'm the first vice chair of the Metro Access Subcommittee, and I will be facilitating our meeting today. We have, as stated, a jam-packed agenda, as always, and we have a few logistics to run through, starting with roll call, standard logistics of how the meeting will flow, and things of that nature. Dr. Butler, who's managing that today?
That will be me.
Wonderful. Go right ahead, and then we'll get into the meeting.
All right, thank you. So before we continue, I'd like to share a few reminders to support accessibility and smooth participation. Please remain muted unless you are speaking. When speaking, please state your name before your comment. This supports our ASL interpreters, participants joining by phone, and individuals who will listen to the recording later. For those joining by phone, you may mute or unmute yourself by pressing star six and raise or lower your hand by pressing star nine. For those joining by computer, please use the microphone icon to mute or unmute and the raise hand feature, which is located under the reactions menu. When making comments, speakers are asked to briefly describe themselves the first time they speak. This supports equitable access for all participants. A brief description may include clothing or distinguishing features or your location relative to the screen. I'll provide a brief example. This is Dr. Maggie Butler. I'm a woman with shoulder-length hair. I am wearing a blue and white shirt. I'm seated indoors and speaking from my office. At this time, I will read tonight's Metro Access agenda. Let me know when the agenda is visible.
Yep, I can see your screen, Paul Simmelfort.
Great, thank you so much. 4 p.m., call to order, system-wide staff. 4:05 p.m., review and approval of meeting agenda and prior meeting minutes. 4:10 p.m., reports, accommodations, customer service, and outreach by Allison Anderson, Operations Manager. 4:15 p.m., service excellence report update by T. Vatnick, Senior Manager of Performance and Benchmark and Customer Research. Jordan Holt will also be present as well. 4:40 p.m., digital Metro Access card update. That conversation will be led by Mr. Blake, VP of Access Services. 5:10 p.m., Metro Access vendor transition call center update. That conversation will also be facilitated by Mr. Blake, VP of Access Services. And 5:20 p.m., an update on the TIM application, also directed by Mr. Blake, VP of Access Services, and Tarian Williams Hall, Director of Access Services. 5:35 p.m., public comment period, and 6 p.m., adjournment. And your next subcommittee meeting will be scheduled July 20th, and it is virtual. Right. So now we will proceed to the roll call. When your name is called, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowlmaster.
I am here.
Thank you. Darnice Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you.
I'm
Rico.
on the phone again. It's
Okay, no
2184.
problem. Thank you so much. Rico Dancy.
I am here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
I'm here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
I'm here.
Thank you. Steve Caffin. Steve will be out of, he will not be in attendance today. He did let me know. Swatha Nandakumar, Philippa Mazzell, Sandy Nuzel,
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Sarah Rod.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Summerfort.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. And Philip Blindthrop. All right. At this time, I will turn the meeting over to Vice Chair Farmer to proceed with the agenda. You now have the floor.
Thank you, Dr. Butler. Again, everyone, welcome. For those who will be listening in the recording at a later time, just for clarification, this is the June 15th, 2026 meeting of the Metro Access Subcommittee. And we will start with a review and approval of the agenda.
Yes.
Thank you.
Paul Summerfort seconded, as is.
First and seconded. Any corrections, modifications to the agenda for today's meeting? Hearing none, approval of the minutes, aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Aye.
And thank you. And those opposed, hearing none, the minutes are approved. We now move on to the minutes from last month's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. If everyone has had a chance to review that, let me get a motion for that.
Let's move these minutes as is.
Second.
There we go.
First and second.
Rico, second.
Wonderful. First and seconded. Any corrections or adjustments to the minutes from last month's meeting? Hearing none, approved, say aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved from last month's meeting. We now have Allison Anderson with recommendations, commendations, customer service, outreach. Ms. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Farmer. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm a middle-aged African-American female with a white, with a black Metro Access Rodeo shirt on today to rep the rodeo. And I have a two-strand hairstyle in a bun. It is my pleasure today to introduce Mr. Dolan Chittums, who is with our QA contractor, MTM, to give the report out from our last session with the public comments. Mr. Chittums?
How you doing? My name is Dolan Chittums, African-American male, long locks, wearing a gray shirt, dark gray shirt. So there were no outstanding public comments requiring follow-up from the AAC meeting held on May 4th, 2026. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting held on May 18th, 2026, there were two outstanding public comments. The first comment pertained to the customer reported that she was not picked up and had difficulty reaching the OCC for support. During the meeting, Mr. Christian Blake, Vice President of Access Services, apologized to the customer for her experience. Upon investigation, the recent transition of Metro Access Service delivery providers, part of a strategic initiative for safe and reliable transportation, affected operational service levels, resulting in delays and higher call volumes at the Metro Access OCC. We are pleased to report that the call service levels have now returned to normal. The second comment addressed a customer's difficulty in reaching a live agent by phone. Mr. Christian Blake, Vice President of Access Services, responded to this concern during the meeting. Additionally, the customer reported experiencing delays with weekend pickups. Upon investigation, it was discovered that these delays were due to inadequate monitoring. This issue was discussed with the OCC provider, and as a result, the customer was issued credits for the late trips. Furthermore, the customer expressed concerns regarding The operators failed to utilize navigation resources. However, after reviewing the actual onboard times, it was determined that both trips were completed in less time than the expected travel time for the equivalent fixed route. Now moving to the accommodations. In May 2026, there were 349 accommodations. Among the recipients, Beaver Road received 61, Central Avenue received 6, Challenger received 77, Transdev OCC received 133, Industrial Road received 8, Hubbard Road received 51, MTM received 1, and Abilities Ride received 12. This concludes my report.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chittums. With that, I am going to turn it over to Mr. Blake if he's on to let us know about any outreach.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Christian Blake, African American male, wearing glasses and a white shirt. So this past Saturday, it did participate virtually in the National Federation of the Blind Greater Washington meeting. We had a nice dialogue and discussion and question and answer period. And then in 2 weeks on a Monday, actually, it's next week, I believe. Monday the 22nd, I'll double check that. We'll be participating in the ACB of Northern Virginia's meeting, a virtual meeting for the ACB of Northern Virginia. So those are our outreach activities as of right now. Thank you for the month.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. And also, too, we will be conducting the Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Safety Award at our next session. So we look forward to recognizing those individuals the next time we meet. And that concludes our report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Anderson, Mr. Blake, Mr. Chittum. Next, we have the Service Excellence Report from T. Vatnick and Jordan Holt supporting.
Vice Chair Farmer Jordan Holt
Yes, ma'am.
will not be here tonight. We just
Not at
received an
all.
update.
Very
But it
well.
will be T. Vatnick is here to
Vatnik
present.
solo. Okay, so Vatnik, you have it solo tonight.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is T. Vatnick. I'm a white person. I have glasses and short hair, and I'm wearing a mask and a white collared shirt. I do need to share my screen, so if you could give me that permission.
All right, you should have it.
All right. Okay. Can everybody see the screen?
Yes.
Okay. So, thank you for having me this evening. I'm here to share some of the slides that are from our most recent report to the board about our performance and specifically look at Metro Access performance. I will note that our most recent report to the board covered fiscal year 26 through the end of March. So, I have added some bullet points to talk about performance in April and May. But some of the graphs will only be through March. So, first, I wanted to talk a little bit about ridership and our customer satisfaction survey, because we got a question about these things during the most recent board meeting. So, our Metro Access ridership is up 16% compared to last year, with 33% growth on Abilities Ride. That's when you compare it to last year, you're basically looking at this time period in FY26 compared to the same time period in FY25. Looking at our customer satisfaction data, so Metro Access overall customer satisfaction was at 76% in the most recent survey. So these surveys are conducted, we basically collect the data every 3 months, and about 400 people are surveyed over that period of time. The surveys are conducted by a third-party contractor who's a professional survey, customer survey provider, and they're done by phone. And they collect a random sample of all Metro Access eligible customers. So for the past year-ish, we've been asking a question on that survey about whether their trip was through a Metro Access vehicle or through Abilities Ride. We don't actually say Abilities Ride on the survey. We ask them, what other kind of vehicle it was. And so we've been able to compare the results of people who used Abilities Ride versus people who used the Metro Access dedicated service. So the chart on the right-hand side of my screen shows the respondents for each of the last four surveys. Their response to the question, how satisfied were you with your most recent trip on Metro Access? So there's two bars for each of the four previous orders. One bar is for Metro Access dedicated riders, and one bar is for Abilities Ride. So the main takeaway here is that the experience of these two groups has been very similar over the last year. And only in the most recent survey has it differed slightly between the two groups, but not very much. So, for those of you who are looking at the graph, you can see that there's five colors in each column. Basically, when we ask the question, how satisfied were you with your last trip? We then give them a rank from 1 to 5. Five is very satisfied, and one is very dissatisfied. So the light blue section of the bar that's at the top, those are the people who are very satisfied. And then the purple section right underneath that is the people who are satisfied. So we take those two groups and we say, okay, those are the people who are happy with the service. And so when we calculate the percentage, it's how many people were satisfied or very satisfied out of the total number of people who answered the question. So you can see that of those two groups, it's about 76% of people who were satisfied with their most recent trip. Any questions about this slide before I keep going? And apologies, I can't see the hands, so if someone could let me know.
No questions at this time, T.
Okay, great. So now we're going to talk about on-time performance. So Metro Access on-time performance was improving steadily over the course of FY26. And then, unfortunately, in May, on-time performance declined. And the main reason of that is because we were making a transition in our provider. And that transition happened in a very short period of time. Usually it takes several months to make that decision and that transition. And we were doing that transition in about 4 to 5 weeks. And so that transitional period unfortunately impacted about 40% of our Metro Access customers in May who had less on-time service. And hopefully, as that transition comes to a close in the next several weeks, that performance is going to continue to improve. We've also noticed that we have had an increase in demand for service on Sundays. So we have been working to slowly shift some of our contractors, or not contractors, our staffing to make sure that we can supply the amount of demand for service on Sundays. We also want to note that our service delivered. So that's of all of the trips that were scheduled, how many did we actually complete? Our performance for FY26 was about 98.3%. We have a very high target for this measure of 99.25%. We're really trying to have the highest level of excellence. So we did not quite meet that target for that fiscal year. And in fact, in May, it was significantly lower than that for a similar reason as the on-time performance. So we continue to strive to improve on this measure and hold ourselves to that very high standard. Just as a reminder of what a missed trip means, there's two ways that a trip can be missed. Either the vehicle can arrive after the 30-minute pickup window and the customer decides not to take the trip. That's the vast majority of them, about 90%. And then the other 10% is the driver didn't wait long enough for the customer. So those are the two ways that trips get counted as missed for this measure. I also wanted to take a moment just to talk about elevator and escalator availability in the system, because I think that that is relevant to a lot of people who use Metro Access. So if you're ever in the rail system, we've been performing extremely well on our elevator availability. We're at 97.9% of the time, all of our elevators are in service. So there's two main reasons the elevators would be out of service. One is capital work, and that means that we are intentionally replacing an elevator. And there's usually about three or four elevators at any given time that we're replacing. And that's about 60% of the time that elevators are out of service. The other 40% of the time is when elevators are unplanned out of service, so there's something wrong when they're broken. And our average amount of time to repair a broken elevator was about 4 hours and 40 minutes. And then lastly, I want to talk about telephone response time for Metro Access. So the way we think about this is of all of the calls that went into Metro Access, how many of them were answered within 2 minutes? So we were at about 87% of calls answered within 2 minutes. And that is an improvement compared to last year. We know that there's definitely still room to improve, and you can see that in for there's two different types of calls, right? There's the calls to the reservations, and that dipped quite a bit in February and March, and then we really improved in April and May. Whereas the Where's My Ride calls, we've been doing very well over the course of the year, and then in May, we really dropped in performance, and that's because as we were having those service disruptions, there are many more people calling into the center. And so it got more challenging to answer those calls in 2 minutes. I see we have a question.
T, we do have a question from Vanessa Coles.
Ms. Bowles? Okay, I will give Vanessa a moment while she
Okay.
unmutes herself. Okay, there
I'm
you go.
here.
Go right ahead, Vanessa.
I'm
Go
here.
ahead.
Hi. I'm a middle-aged African American. My hair is layered, and I am wearing a t-shirt today at home. So I just had a question regarding your stats. I'm going back to the survey that was taken. You said about 400 people were randomly selected. Is that out of 2,000-3,000 people?
So it's
That right? Yes, actually.
400 people every 3 months.
Out
So
of the totality of writers.
out of all of the people who are eligible for Metro Access.
Right. That just seems like a real low amount. And maybe it's standard. I don't know. It just seems like out of all the people that ride, only 400 were randomly selected. But my other concern is is that you mentioned that the Sunday trips have increased. Now, what is that grandfathered people, or how come it's increased on Sundays when a lot of folks can't take it on Sunday? Is that based on the people that are already grandfathered in?
So to answer your first question, 400 people out of the number of people who are eligible for Metro Access is a pretty standard amount. To give you perspective, when we survey customers who take rail and bus, we survey about 3,000 people every 3 months. So if you think of 3,000 out of all the people who take rail and bus, that's a pretty standard survey sample for that size. So I feel pretty confident in the methodology of the survey company. I can't answer your second question because I'm not as familiar with the Metro Access policies. Maybe Mr. Blake can give you more information. I can just tell you that we've seen an uptick in the number of rides requested on Sundays.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Vanessa. Dr. Butler, looks like we did you say Sarah, Sandy, and
Marcy.
Maggie? Marcy.
Marcy.
Okay, so Sarah, you're up.
Great, thank you. This is Sarah Rod, and I am a middle-aged white female sitting on my couch in a black sweater. I guess my question's about the elevators, which I realize is not directly related to Metro Access, but thank you for including it. I think it's interesting. And I'm just curious, how do these statistics compare to in a trend line from previous years? I mean, that does sound like a pretty high number, and then which I assume has been going up over time. And then I guess to what do you attribute the improvements in keeping the elevators online more often, more frequently, greater percentage of the time, whatever the correct phrasing there is. Thanks.
Yeah, so if you look at this chart, this line graph on the top right, so I'm showing data for the past couple of years, and you'll see that we have been over 97% almost that entire time. And you're right that it has increased since maybe 5 years ago, but we've been performing like pretty strongly on this target for as long as I've been at Metro, which is about 6 years. Part of it is that our elevator and escalator team are a really top-notch repair team, and they have worked very hard to plan how it's kind of the timeline of how all the different elevators are replaced and when they're going to get replaced. And they also have worked hard to have processes so that they can respond quickly when elevators break. And they've really refined, it's not like shiny or fancy things, it's like business processes that they've gotten better over time at figuring out how to track things. We also have remote sensors that tell us when an elevator escalator goes out of service so that it tells us faster when it's broken than just having it be reported by someone. So it's lots of little changes that we've made over time to make it both better planning for the ones that we know we're taking out of service and better response time to the ones that break.
Thank you. And I apologize. I really can't see the graph.
Oh, I'm sorry.
that's okay. If you disaggregated the numbers so that you had escalators split from elevators, and I can't tell if you've already done that, but is there a big difference between the two?
Good question. So, this is actually just talking about elevators.
Okay.
Our escalators is a little bit worse. Our escalators is usually around 94%. That's in part because there's more of them. And also, escalators are tricky to maintain. You can ask any transit system around the world. Escalators are often the bane of their existence. So they are never going to be quite as good as the elevators, but our team is very proud of our escalator availability as well. And we've done similar things. So, like this, the remote sensors I was talking about, those are in both the elevators and the escalators.
Okay, one more quick question, and then I promise I'll shut up because you've got other people have questions. How many of the elevators are the sensors in? Is it all of them or some percentage of them? Is there a plan to get them in all of
That's a
them?
good question. I don't know it off the top of my head. I know there is a plan to get it in all of them, but I don't think we're there yet.
That's
But
great.
I can come back to you on that.
Okay, because I anecdotally, I have heard of some cases where people have shown up and people didn't realize the elevators were even out until they were there. So it's a really great idea. Anyway, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Now we have Sandy Newsel.
Hi, I'm Sandy Newsell, senior white female, and my hair is still purple in solidarity with my purple cast on my wrist. My question is about, and if I didn't understand what you said correctly, please correct me, that you had statistics about call center, well, phones being answered within 2 minutes. Now, does that is So I think of phone calls as phone calls to Tim, phone calls to Tim, and then there's frustration and eventually get to a human being or phone, and then there's phone calls for where's my ride? And I think that's automated and or a human being. So how do you break those out? And when you say 2 minutes, is that like the first time a person calling in is actually interacting with either Tim or a human being, or is that when their problem has been answered, solved? Good
Okay,
question.
I can answer that if you want.
Go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Yes. So in call center environment, no, it's not 2 minutes to solve a solution because we don't know what the solution will be, and that's standard across any industry. You call a bank, you call the, I always use the pizza shop or the medical facility. It's 2 minutes that there is interaction between the customer and somebody, or in some cases, something. So we are answering in the past, you would get the call and you would listen to IVR messages ad nauseum, and it may be 30 seconds, it may be a minute, it may be 2 minutes, it may be 10 minutes, but you have not been interacted with in terms of your particular situation within that 2 minutes. In this case, it's not necessarily a human. It's not necessarily your issue is resolved. It's how quickly your particular call and your particular issue that you're calling about is being addressed.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for that explanation.
What was
Oh,
that? Okay. So can I, before
that's
we move
okay.
on, can I go back? Because I apologize. I missed a question from Ms. Coles earlier, but I think I see the question now. And can I just answer it? It's just a quick answer.
Sure, Mr. Blake.
Yes. So Ms. Coles asked whether or not the recent increase on Sunday ridership is attributed to customers who have been grandfathered. I would say no, it's not any particular individual group of customers. What we're experiencing with Metro Access is what we are celebrating on bus and rail, and that is the region is back, the nation is back, and it's not a statement, I'm just talking about ridership here, in terms of people utilizing public transportation. You look at the ridership on bus and rail, they are through the roof. Well, people, people are the same all around. We're just seeing ridership growth on Metro Access that is similar to the ridership that we're seeing on bus and rail. And even with the increase on Sundays, Sundays are still our slowest day, but the ridership numbers are increasing on Sundays, and in fact, almost every day.
Yes, and we're seeing an increase on weekend ridership on rail and bus as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Okay, so first, thank you, Sandy. That actually was something that was on my mind regarding the telephone as well. And that gave me better clarity regarding that matter as well, because I was thinking it was from the moment that the phone linked to the system rather than the actual time when engaging either Tim or a live agent. So that's good to know. Marcy. You are Marcy Goldstein. I'll give Marcy another moment there. Dr. Butler, who is our next person after Marcy?
Marcy is the last member that has their hand raised.
Okay, very well. I shall hold for a bit here. Marcy, you remain muted. Okay. We will always be welcome to circle back if we need to. I think the next topic should be relatively quick, and if Marcy, we can circle back. The next topic is the digital Metro Access card, Mr. Blake. You have been researching that with your team behind the scenes. What can you tell us?
So I don't have any update in terms of, let's say, an action plan. Let's put it that way. There's still discussions about that. I want to say that from my understanding, the education I was provided during the National Federation of the Blind Prince George's County chapter does appear to be correct. So that part of the barrier, if you will, is not there. There are some other things that have been raised, but as you can imagine, there's a lot going on right now. We're not putting this off forever, but there is discussions, and the decision will have to come from, let's put it this way. This is one of those that's above my grade, if you will, in terms of a final. Some things that you guys are used to, you all have been used to me just saying, hey, this is where we can do it, let's just do it. But it involves Treasury and our Fair Media team. So that's a little above and beyond where I'm at. But I am having discussions, learning more about our internal processes when making any type of change. But this is one of them. It's part of an overall discussion we're having on some other things that are a little easier to address that has been raised through this committee, and you're seeing the fruits of those efforts come to fruition, excuse me. So I would just say this. I learned a lot. I've been sharing what I've learned. We've been talking about it. Give me some time. Let's see what changes may or may not be possible. If I'm taking too long, as you all know, you're advocates. You certainly don't need my permission to advocate, but this is a discussion and a policy approach that has to have a wider audience within Metro before any major change like this can take place. And
That
what we're talking about, I'm sorry,
is
what we're talking about, I should just for people listening and may not remember the conversation. There's been for a while, there's been some advocacy by some members of the Metro Access ridership community and stakeholders who would like their Metro Access card to be phone enabled like other smart trip cards are, so that when they are utilizing bus and rail, they simply tap and keep moving as opposed to utilizing the physical card. And our position has always been there's some challenges with that. One of the challenges I thought and what I heard, or maybe misheard, maybe misunderstood, was clarified during a recent organizational meeting I participated in. And that's not, at least on the surface, does not appear to be the challenge that I once perhaps mistakenly thought it was. But again, the process of having the Metro Access Card, which enables free bus and rail ridership among those customers who are eligible for Metro Access, has not been at to this point one where you could put on your telephone the way you can a regular paid smart trip card. And so that's the discussion now is to what are the challenges? What are the truly accurate? What are, give us be accurate about the challenges? And then are these challenges able to be overcome? What's the policy going to be? And things like that. And again, some of that is a lot of that is way beyond access services.
And that is absolutely understandable. When getting resolution to any of these type of issues, it takes a team effort. I am sure that because of the value of the concern that as it was raised, as you mentioned, more recently at the National Federation of Blind of Maryland Greater Prince George's County chapter meeting, it will resurface again. And I'm hoping that within perhaps the next 30 days, since usually August, there tends to be a break in our meetings. Maybe by the July meeting, we may have some, at least a little more information to give us some clue as to where that effort stands. Hopefully, that will be the case. Paul, I see you have a question for Mr. Blake on this topic.
Oh yes, just expanding upon it. Not only if you're using within Metro, I would like to see as a dream someday, like we now have my transit manager, which is another topic. With this digital card, maybe for those who opt into it and technologies explored and things, just down the future, maybe like someone like me who wants it as their instead of the card, the digital version on my phone to show the driver my ID. Each time, as I, if it's a Metro Access vehicle, that type of thing, one less thing to carry in my wallet. I mean, it should be a choice for the customer, obviously, because there are others who may not be so inclined, and that's their right and that's their choice. But just thinking outside the box of having that option, once all the bugs are worked out, that it can be used within the Metro system as a digital wallet, but also I can flip my phone. Here's my Metro Access ID digitally. I'm just putting that out there, just thinking big in the future.
I'm with you, and believe me, I'm me. Yeah, so I'm not gonna be, I use my phone all the time now,
It would just
wherever
make
I
it easy
go.
now at, when I re-up in eligibility. Oh, here's an updated photo. Boom.
Right, and I'm with you. So I, the technology is there. Obviously, Metro is using it for customers who are utilizing certain smart trip cards. So you're not getting an argument from me. Again, this has been learning because early on there was a lot of discussion, but I was still an ADEP at the time, so I wasn't totally in the mix. It kind of dried down a bit. It's come back up, and now I'm learning a lot more about what, and I'm learning from the customers, quite frankly, a little different than what I was hearing, or at least thought I was hearing internally. So now that those conversations are going again, this is one of those ones you're not getting necessarily a debate from me, but we are part of a team, and I need to learn more internally as to what the challenges may or may not be. Can they be overcome? And again, who and what policy will be set around this concept?
Wonderful. Now, Mr. Blake is, and this may be premature, something I may have to discuss with my chair, Mr. Semmel Ford, and the rest of the team, whether or not it may become viable for you to present someone from the teams that you're looking into to our meeting here to say, hey, these are some of the concerns, so that people can say, okay. They hear the concerns, they see the challenges, they see what we need to do. Maybe that can come from, without having you to mediate that, every time, could bring someone in to maybe have that discussion when our meeting isn't, overwhelmed by other agenda topics. But we'll see. Dr. Butler, anybody else? On this topic
Yeah,
regarding
I see
the
Ms.
digital
Goldstein's
Metro.
hand up.
Her
Not
hand
at
is up.
this
So,
time.
okay,
Miss
let's circle.
Goldstein's hand still is up, but I
Oh, okay.
believe it was from the previous
From the previous
engagement.
topic. Okay, great. I will circle back very quickly back to Marcy on the previous topic since your hand remains raised. Before I transition to our next topic, Mr. Blake, be prepared for our next topic.
Okay.
Okay, then we will move on. I will continue to circle back, Marcy, if your question remains active. So
Now,
our next,
I'm here. I just,
Marcy, go right ahead.
very quickly, when I, in the past, at school with my ride, a lot of times I think the agent gives me 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and they still don't come. I call again and they go, oh, they're 12 blocks away and they still don't come. Are they playing guessing games? That's my statement.
So what we're talking about here is that when you do get on to a call through the telephone, you have a certain amount of time you've been waiting. Then when you do get a person, they tell you something, and that doesn't always turn out to be accurate in the trip. Now, I think that that will require Mr. Blake, I suspect, to do a little more investigation on those particular situations that you're describing. Mr. Blake, do you think there's any more that you can comment to Ms. Goldstein regarding her concern?
Oh, and
Well,
then I end up calling Mr. Blake.
right, and then I get it done, hopefully. So
Yeah.
one, we don't, and again, ideally, one of the things we tried to change years ago, and if it pops back up, we'll definitely look at it, is we talked about it through this committee for a time period. There was a culture within the call center, rather the trip was across the globe or around the corner, every time you called in, it was the vehicle is 10 minutes away. And so we wanted to stop that. And then that's one thing that the digital assistant helps with, and other tools that give us more accurate times to our customers. If that's kind of making its way back in, we definitely want to address that. And I will talk to the OCC management about that and about the whole everything is 10 minutes away, which only frustrates all customers because, one, if you think it's 10 minutes away and it shows up in 2 minutes, now you're scrambling. If you think it's 10 minutes away, but it doesn't show up for 30 minutes, you're really frustrated and angry. I've been serving kind of or helping out as a little backup in case there's an issue like this, but that's not the ideal long-term solution. What we want is accuracy and honesty, and we want to be proactive. If you see that Ms. Goldstein's trip is going to be trending late, we need to be active long before Ms. Goldstein even has to call in. I'm trying to get the OCC to be more proactive and actually contacting customers ahead of time to give them update. Now, that won't necessarily resolve the frustration of a late trip, but it will probably be lessened to know about it, to hear about it, than having to call in, deal with the digital assistant, frustrated, wanting to talk to a human agent. And then they tell you it's 10 minutes when it could be something else. So I will definitely check, take a look again, and report this to the management of the OCC, who I believe is on and hearing this. So we'll be following up on her particular trip to find any cases and phone calls of that. But the general effort to regenerate this or to stamp down any reassurance of this of this 10-minute, 10-minute, 10-minute response, we have to make sure we stamp that back down.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Blake. Thank you, Marcy. I don't think anyone else has their hands up on this particular topic specific to the digital, back to the digital Metro Access card. So we will transition to the next topic being vendor.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I did want to add, if I could.
Specifically, the digital, but is this specific to the digital card?
The digital card? Oh, no, I was piggybacking off of Marcy's concern.
Very well. We have a few minutes. Go right ahead.
So I just wanted to make mention to Mr. Blake. I think it was Monday. I had a Metro Access trip, and my window was 7:10 to 7:40, and I just so happened to call at 7:15 just to make sure I had a Metro Access trip because I didn't get a lift that day. And they told me my pickup was estimated to be 8 o'clock. So right away, you know, she noticed, and she gave me an Uber. Is there a reason why can you imagine why it would have been 8 o'clock as opposed to 7:10? My window was.
It could have been, you know, vehicle. Well, one, the trip was running late. Now, why it was running late, we'd have to look at that particular trip. But it could be, you know, a host of things. Traffic. Driver came to work late and never caught back up. Driver left lunch late, and hasn't caught up. Accident on the van, somebody got sick or something, and we had to switch the vehicle. I mean, it could be a host of reasons why a trip is projected to be late. But in your proactive nature, you called, it sounds like right around the middle or early in your window. You got an update, and they used the semaphore policy. Later projected to be late, and you were offered an alternative.
Oh, yeah, I appreciated it for sure. I was just wondering because I would have normally waited to 7:40 to call, but I just so happened to call sooner, really just to see if who was taking my trip. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I'm sure there's lots of reasons why, but it just goes to show you don't have to wait to the end of your trip to find a status.
You don't. You could either, if you're not using the app and tracking it, you can certainly call the digital assistant at this. We always encourage at the start of the window. So the minute the window opens, mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever booked a flight on Southwest Airlines and then you're looking at the clock and you're trying to be right on that first second, that last second to click on it so that you can get one of those early boarding seats. Well, that's what I say to customers with Metro Access. As soon as that window opens, feel free to call to check on your trip if you're not using the app. And the digital assistant is trained to be proactive, but if you have to speak to an agent to get that proactive mitigation, they're trained
this
for that.
Work here. I mean, this doesn't work.
Yeah, I was just checking to see who had
the port. Something's
trip.
Wrong with the port. I have to go down to Verizon.
Nope.
But it will charge. I get tired of that thing. I don't like it. There's so much to try to get it together.
Well, you have an active mic.
Fortunately, she didn't say nothing back.
Okay. And that's a confirmation that she may have understood what I was saying. Great. Okay. So I'm thinking we don't have anyone left in that topic area, but I will ask. Dr. Butler?
There are no hands at this time.
Thank you very much, Dr. Butler. Mm-hmm. Our next topic is vendor transition and the call center. Mr. Blake, what's our update on that?
Okay, so vendor transition, when I saw this, I said, so one, I think those are two different things, but I'm open if I'm misunderstanding the topic intention. Vendor transition is related to what Vatnik was reporting on, and what I've shared with you all as well,
Fine.
is that we asked one of the contractors to step back while we fill in a new provider. Again, that's usually a 4-month process of hiring, testing, training, etc. And we're working to bring that in as little as it's been already been 4 weeks, and we're trying to wrap it up in the next few weeks. I can tell you today, we finally, again, I say finally in the sense of things, but again, 4-month process, and the 4th week of this process, we now have service running out of Virginia. So we're back to having service, not the full slate of service that we had prior to this transition, but we are running service out of each of our jurisdictional areas once again. So, not a declarative statement, but Metro Access is back in the sense that we are all around the region. And today it showed the difference. And while Virginia isn't fully loaded just yet, because they're again, they're still training and hiring and testing, all sorts of federal regulations that you have to adhere to when transitioning transit employees from one contractor or one company or agency to another. But we are now back to having service originate out of each of our jurisdictions. So we're basically getting back to the level of service and resources that we had during those months that Vatnik was reporting about, that we saw some positive movement. But those positive movements were also met with a lot of struggles and other challenges, which is why we decided to, if you want to say, if you're using a basketball analogy, after that wonderful championship the other night, substitute one provider for another. So that's the transition. Now, the call center piece of that, I wasn't sure because we're not transitioning the contractor that's operating the call center. Now, I think the only other connection we may have is that the company that is operating the call center, called Transdev, they happen to be, and I say that loosely, they happen to be the company that is being substituted into the game, if you will, for our service delivery. And so, if you recall, Transdev was a longtime Metro Access provider. During what I consider our best years, they were actually one of the service delivery providers working for Metro and providing service to Metro Access customers. So they're here for the time being. The next thing you may be hearing about, and I know this always gets the chairman livened up, and I'm talking about the AAC chairman of in this particular case, there will be a competitive solicitation, i.e. a procurement for all the service initiating very soon, with the goal of having it all done and completed within a period of 12 months or less. But I don't
We
know if
do
I answered all
love
the
you.
questions related to this agenda topic, so we're certainly
Okay.
open to answering questions to clarify what the agenda topic actually seeks to cover.
That would be from me
Absolutely.
because I'm the one
That
who
would be
inserted in after
all.
talking to Tawan.
Okay.
It's all your first up, and I don't think anyone else has their hand up yet. So go right ahead, Paul.
So I guess the concern was, like I said, when the providers one had to stop and another transition, and from I'm hearing from customers, in terms of late trips, because we have some customers where Metro Access is their safety net and probably their only choice in abilities ride is not under their circumstances that a choice to fall back on, and just knowing when service is going to and I kind of told them that there's a transition. That's why you may be waiting half an hour past your window, and just have to plan accordingly. And this is, but it will get better eventually, as quickly and safely as they are, can, as you're stating, Mr. Blake, on board. So that was the update I was, getting from the announcement that you made about a month or so ago, and in May. So yeah, that was that. And just to get an idea of, I guess now that you opened the door, how, kind of an update as we're coming to the end of this, close of a year, how the call center is doing with, and we see, reservations is doing fairly well. Where's my ride? And, that type of thing in terms of, and we get our, statistics in terms of, responding to calls, responding to customer concerns, that type of thing.
Okay, so that's fair. And I would just say, and that's why I'm taking more calls and giving my numbers on, because even with this transition, as unusual and as shortened and tightened and challenging as it is, I personally would never want to have to say to a customer, this is why you're 30 minutes or an hour late, because the goal is to avoid all of that. And even with limited resources, creativity, advanced preparation, proactive monitoring of the service won't eliminate late trips, but should significantly avoid a lot of excessively late trips. And that's been a goal, and we've been trying to really emphasize that with the team and being proactive. And to the call center's credit, they're doing a little more assertive management, if you will. You gotta be careful how we say things, but we're seeing them take on more of a personality that I would like to see, and certainly a personality that we would implement if we were in Baltimore. Let's put it that way. I mean,
Like in
we're
the
trying to
past, I
do
would
this.
see in my transit manager app, okay, the vehicle's on a metro, the trip is on a MetroAxis vehicle. I'm looking at the window because usually in the past, and now they've gotten a little bit better, looking at the app, oh, this is going to be 30, 40 minutes late. Okay, let me get closer to the window. Oh, this is about 30, 40 minutes past the window already. We're getting close, and I have to inform them because obviously it's not me. It's probably a whole bunch of trips like that. Now it's gotten a little bit better. Oh, I don't have to call as often because I see, either one or two things happening. The because I can see from my transit manager app that they're switching it to another driver that hopefully will pick it up within the window or after maybe two or three tries. They already moved it to Uber and sent me the link. That type of deal. They're getting a little bit much better at.
Well, we're trying.
Even though that's not every day, but certain, certain days, things like that, of that nature.
No, we're definitely trying on that regard. They need to answer the phones, but they need to work, and we're doing things with other digital tools, not necessarily ones you and other customers would interact with, but tools that will help them monitor the service better and be proactive. If I happen to be on a computer and I see Paul Semaphore's trip is, for whatever reason, is projected to be 30 minutes late, I shouldn't have to wait again for Paul Semaphore to call in and say, what's the status? And I
Oh,
see
I'm
it's
not telling
late.
this. I said, this is what I
You
see. Is
don't
that
tell me,
correct?
but if you're at a 6 o'clock pickup and it's 5 o'clock and we see that your trip is projected to be late by 30 minutes, and we can't find another vehicle that won't impact another customer and take you around Robin Hood's barn, why not just reach out to you? We know your history. We have the record there. Reach out and offer you an alternative. If you say yes, that not only makes your day better, makes you enjoy the service more and move on with your life, but it actually helps free up some space and capacity so that maybe we can help two or three other customers' trips be better on time because your trip has been moved. So that's the kind of thinking and we've been demonstrating it to them. They've been open, but again, we have to be a little more assertive, and this region is a little different, but assertive is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, because I look at my colleague at work where, she uses a large mobility device where Uber is not really an option for her on, and she has to wait on that van. And she, kind of brought up this issue, and I kind of, told her about what thing, truth or honest things, and I can understand her frustration because the van is. Or a wheelchair accessible lift or the type of vehicle is her only choice.
And agree. And what if, the maybe not in your case because you two are at the same location, but just using that as the example, that's the point I'm making. If you were on that vehicle scheduled to be picked up, and then they were going to go pick up this other individual, and both of you were going to be late, why not move one of you so that they don't have to divert a little to the left over at, I'm just picking a town, Gaithersburg. But instead, just keep going straight to Germantown and pick her up on time and allow you to utilize an alternative if you want to that day. And these are the type of being proactive, not just reactive to customer calls, which those reactive calls generally take more time to resolve. And therefore, the whole time goes up and it just becomes a negative spiral. Again, during the better days we had, that streak we had, perhaps that skill set did not translate and maybe it went away a little bit. But again, we're trying to be very firm and polite and professional with the contractor to say it's time to be very assertive with your employees in terms of the expectations and how to actually manage the service in a lot better and a proactive way.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Blink. Paul, Dr. Butler, I don't think we have anybody, but on the topic that we are currently in regarding vendors.
I do not see any additional hands at this time.
No, I didn't think so. Thank you very much. Our next topic is the TIM app. Director Williams Hall and Mr. Blake on that. How are things going along with Tim right now?
Mr. Blake, I'll defer to you if you wanted to get started.
I'll start real quick, but yeah, Terry, and we'll come back to you. It's moving, it's progressing. Customers are using it. The chairman of this committee uses it a lot, and that's a good thing. And we want more and more customers to use it. The only major update, again, you can use it to monitor your trips, see who's the provider of the trips. We want to, and I don't want to, we want to use that to help avoid disputes whether or not a customer's particular trip is on Uber or not. We've had that discussion. You should look at the app and know exactly which of your trips because as things get challenged, perhaps not all your trips are going to be, as we've been saying right from the start, but perhaps even fewer trips may be allocated on a particular day, and we may need to keep more trips on Metro Access, things like that. So use that app to see who's your trip with, and you can cancel trips on the app. And for some customers who are testing it now, and eventually all customers, you'll be able to book your trips on the app as well. So it's a good tool. We just need more people to try to utilize it. Again, anytime we can use, and I know there are some philosophies out there, our use of digital tools is not, and I just want to just say this as a point, then I'll turn to Ms. Terry and Williams Hall. Our use of digital tools is not a human capital management or reduction strategy. It is a customer service strategy because as you can train and utilize these tools, to provide some of the most basic answers and responses in needs of the customer, you actually free up the human agents for those real challenging situations so that you don't have to eventually call Mr. Blake, because Mr. Blake may not always be here. So you want to be able to have the human agents engaged in those challenging pieces. That keeps the phone lines open, that keeps your frustrations down, takes the pressure off the agents when you utilize the other tools that are available. And also, I think it makes your ride experience and your overall experience interacting with Metro Access that much better. So I just want people to just keep that in mind. This is not about taking people's jobs. This is not, in fact, they're adding more employees. I think we've all heard, in the news, the so-called AI revolution has not eliminated jobs. They found out you actually need humans. And this is a very human-centric business. So let's not have that be a reason not to utilize these tools. And as we do a competitive solicitation for this tool with the TIM in particular, we're going to be hearing about other providers and companies, and we're going to be hearing from them. We've already heard from one AAC member who experiences and utilizes a similar tool in Virginia. We certainly want to know who that is so that they can put their bid in if they wish. And I always just remind folks one last thing when we talk about digital assistant. The Transport DC program, which we helped get started here, all Metro Access customers, only Metro Access customers use Transport DC. If you want to book a trip with Transport DC, the entire interaction now is digital. So we know that Metro Access customers, maybe not 100%, but we know a lot of folks, when you really need something and you want something and the tool is there, they can use the digital assistant and get the resolution and results that you want. And that's all we're asking our Metro Access customers, to be open to trying the tools and speak with the human agents when absolutely necessary to help all of us have a better experience interacting with one another. But Terry, do you want to talk more specifics about what we're seeing with the app and other efforts we have?
Sure, I just want to draw. This is Taryn Williams Hall, Director for Metro Access, African American middle-aged woman with long hair, and I'm wearing glasses. Just want to draw a distinction between TIM and the app. They are not interchangeable or the same thing. So TIM serves us through the digital assistant. When you call in, that is the voice that you will hear, and then it provides back office support to our agents with regard to giving more accurate where's my ride details and assisting in booking Uber trips for trips that are late and projected late. We continue to develop that. As I mentioned, I think in our last meeting, we're moving toward providing this for our reservations agents over the coming weeks. This will streamline and reduce the number of days required for training and onboarding new agents. It will simplify the booking process from the new agent process, thereby speeding up the calls and giving the customers a better customer experience. I'm happy to take any questions. I see multiple hands.
I guess I'll start because I put it up first. So one my transit manager. So two questions, and I know the vendor is in a process of doing these things. As I look at my app, and right now, any word at some point in the future, the only trips right now that you can book on the My Transit Manager app are those that you have taken, looks like before, because it says book it again. When will we be able to, like we do with the online booking through our account, some of the equivalent things like book a new trip, instead of the, book it again, you have to repeat it, that type of thing, and easing up on some of the time restrictions between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. because people have different travel needs. So that would be it for my transit manager. On the TIM side, the digital assistant, what I've noticed, and y'all may want to investigate, is those who have abilities, ride trips, like say for on Lyft and Uber, In the past, I remembered when you would call in, it would, like you said, recognize that and say, I need help from an agent. Now, what it's doing when I called in, like for a Lyft trip, I needed to get to somebody, a human being, it sees that it has the trip on Lyft, but it says, oh, the driver's going to arrive in the window. So what it does is it's making me wait until the window ends, and then it doesn't do that automatic step seeing that, oh, it's on Uber, oh, it's on Lyft, or a provider in which a human being needs to figure out. And I'm like, well, I already know what my issue is. I need to talk to a human being to do something about it. And now I have to deal with going through the digital assistant trying to get to an agent when it used to do that automatically. So those are my
Okay,
questions.
so let me make sure I understand the latter, and I'll defer to Mr. Blake. I'm sorry, the one with regard to the digital assistant. I'll defer to Mr. Blake for the two questions about the app. So are you saying that when you've called in, you already know that your trip is
Well,
on
I'm looking
Lyft?
at my transit. It's already on Lyft or Uber, and I needed to either be reset again by a dispatch manager that's Lyft or Uber for them to send me a link again for whatever reason. And in the past, it would automatically see it. Oh, it's on Uber or Lyft already, and it was automatically send me to someone after punching in my information. Now it's telling me it's on time, which and then it's like, I have to wait until the end of the window. When it's past it, then it says, oh, someone needs to help you, and I need help with that trip that's going on currently.
All right. As far as I recall, that's not the accurate setup, but Allison and I will look into that tomorrow, and one of us will circle back to you with regard to what's going on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Mr. Blake?
I thought you had addressed it, and maybe I'm missing. So the app says he's on Falcon, or excuse me, he's on Lyft, but he
Now,
didn't get a
he had
link.
two different questions, Mr. Blake, for the app. That was one for the Tim.
Right. So he sees the trip is on Lyft for through the app, but you didn't get your link, and you need somebody to resend the link.
Yeah, resend the link will ultimately will be you, but it's like just it says, oh, the trip is on time, so it's now coming back to ask me, how can I help you? It's like, I need to speak to an agent because I already know what my problem is. I need to get to someone to assist me. But it's telling me that the driver's gonna be on time. Now, remember in the past, like Miss Williams Hall said, when it sees those type of trips, it's like, I need more help from someone. Let me transfer you automatically when I go through Tim. I don't know why it's doing that now.
Me either.
I think we would have to get that result. That sounds more like a question for the Tim, not necessarily about the app. The app is giving you information, but you don't have your link, and that's a different situation there. So we'll follow up on that.
So,
So
Mr.
Ms.
Blake,
Wood.
I think you may not have heard the first two questions with
The first
regard
two
to.
questions were about my transit manager. So the first one is, right now the only booking that you can do is on existing
On
trips that you
existing trips,
see. And when do we when will it eventually get you to a time where I can book new trips on the My Transit Manager app is one, and number two, that time frame of 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. about when is it going to allow me to expand to do, because people have different travel needs. I may want to do very early in the morning or late at night, and it's only allowed me during that 12-hour period. And sometimes even with that, it's like, I can't do this. And I'm like, okay, I'll go back to online booking.
So in terms of the address selection, I think this is just part of the pilot phase, if you will. We're rolling this out and we want to get everybody involved. And I think you would say that the theory is that, of course, we all take different trips and we go different places, and people with disabilities are no different, but just like a person with a disability, just like a person without a disability, we often have very similar trips that we take a lot. I mean, every day I go from the same train station to my home and back. If I know that's locked in the system, and the only thing I have to do is just perhaps some days change a pickup time, then that's just at least a good start because so many trips are the exact same. But to your point, at some point, you want to be able to book the trip to Papa John's Pizza. I keep talking about pizza. I got to stop talking about pizza. But you want to book the trip from home to Papa John's Pizza, not to the place you're going to get on the train to go to work. That's eventually going to come. I think that'll come after we get the customers on board, because I think it's probably a lot easier to get a lot of customers on board to book and rebook similar trips than the expansion piece. But eventually that has to come because that's part of the overall scheduling process. But in the meantime, if you book a majority of your trips through the app that are the same that are past trips, but then you have the pizza shop or anything else, the church and other things you want to do that are not as frequent or just different. Really, it's just a different trip. Yes, we do have web booking, we do have Tim, and eventually we have live agents if and when needed.
Okay.
Now, the other piece though, when you say the 12-hour window, help me out.
Yeah,
You say
so it tells me I only can book trips between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. because I told you this before. It will not book outside those before those hours or outside the those hours.
and when you talk about book the trips, you're talking about when it's accepting bookings, or you're talking about pickup times?
So on when I go on this app here and try to do a dummy trip, something before 7 a.m., it says it only does between 7 and 7.
Okay, so you can't book a trip, let's say that begins at 6 a.m.
That's correct. Or
Okay.
at or after seven
Or
p.m.
after 7 p.m. Yeah, that's a
Yeah.
little news to me. Again, these are the bulk of the trips, but that still wouldn't, if you've taken a trip in the past at 9 o'clock and you do it every week, I don't see why that would not be
Yeah,
allowed.
it puts
I'll
that
check on
time
that.
limitation on booking here, and I guess, like you said, it's still figuring out in its implementations, trial stage. But I said if I can do it on here, which would be easier, then I just go to web booking where I can basically, within reason, do what I need to do.
Well, we'll definitely check on that one. That's yeah, that because that to me that falls in the same line as all. If you had the trip before, why wouldn't you be able to just book it again? I will find out. I don't know. Taryn, do you have any information on that one?
I do
No.
not.
Okay, we'll find out on that one.
All right.
But I will, and
Thank you.
again, I'm not in charge of their app, if you will, but I do believe it'll be a lot easier and probably is going to be first in terms of getting everybody on board and being able to book prior trips than the booking of new trips. I just believe that, but that doesn't mean that's where it'll stop.
Okay.
Okay,
And I see as
great.
many more hands. Go ahead.
Okay,
so we have Vanessa, Sarah, Rico, and Dr. Butler. Is there one more person beyond
I
that?
see Patrick.
Yes, Pat Sheehan.
That's Pat. That's right. Okay, so Vanessa,
I just
regarding
wanted to
this
give
app, that's the topic we're on. Are you talking about the Tim app, or do I need to hold it for public comment?
It's regarding this Tim app. I was just
Go
giving
right ahead.
Mr. Blake FYI. Can I talk?
No, yeah, go right in. Go right in.
Oh, okay. So I was just giving Mr. Blake about Tim's system today. I was modifying a trip for tomorrow, and it couldn't find me. It was for an appointment time. So it kicked me out the system. Gave me to an agent, and she could not either. So she was saying that it was coming up with an unavailable time, and that because I have a doctor's appointment, that I could do an appointment because it was not giving any time frame, or it was saying something about a time couldn't be found, and that I may have to, other may have to pick up other folks, and she didn't know when I would get to it because it didn't give me an available time for an appointment. So I'm not sure what was going on with the system today. Just FYI. FYI.
Okay.
We'll take a look at that. So you were asking for a particular appointment time, and Tim said it didn't have that time available for you.
It kept asking me that I want time before and after, 15 minutes before and after. And it kept giving me the same time. And so the third time it said it couldn't find a time for me. So it gave me to an agent. And then the agent was getting the same thing. She said that the message was given her that no time was found available or something like that. And so I kept having to push and move my appointment time to really way out the way, which was make me late. But I had to take it because other than taking a pickup time, he said it was the same for the appointment time. It was going to have to that just know that I would have to, you know, other, which I understand other people are going to be picked up, but I wasn't going to get that appointment time because the system couldn't find a time or something like that. So I was just letting you know.
No, I appreciate that. I know Terian and team will look into this specific example. I'm not declaring this is what happened. I'm listening to the story, though. And again, we've had a nice little ride for a while. Let me just put it that way. I'm not saying this is what happened. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about different cultures and things we do to try to keep all the customers happy, it's one of these things is like, managing Metro Access as though you're a politician. What do they say about politicians? We tell the customers everything they want to hear. We give them everything they want. And for a long time, we could deliver anything you want and do it under budget and on time. As more and more people ride, there are going to be more times when you'll never be denied a trip on Metro Access. You never will be. But will you always get the time you want? And, you know, we've talked a lot about the scheduling window, that 90-minute scheduling window. It's never really been enforced because what will happen is where Tim is saying, hey, there's no time. Can you pick another time? The human agents just put you on a wait list. Now, you don't know this. You know that your pickup time, you asked for 8 o'clock. That's what the agent gave you. You went away happy. You may vote for us. You know, during the primaries. And that's a good thing, but eventually the bill comes due and we have to be a little more forceful. So it's going to be interesting now when you dealt with the human agent, and we're not going to get nobody in trouble, but this is just, again, some of the things we're having to slowly adjust on both sides. Tim said that it didn't have that time for you. It's nothing, no time available. And you spoke to a human who said they saw the same message. But am I right or wrong that by the time you hung up the phone, the time you asked for is the time that the agent told you you would get, correct?
Right. No. I had to move it. I had to move it to a 2:45. I was trying to get a appointment time of 2:15. And moved it to a, everything kept coming up 12:20. She found me one at 12:35, but that was with a 2:45 appointment time. I had to move my appointment time. And it definitely moved the level a little bit.
How much time did you negotiate away from your original time?
I did a before, a after, and I just had to move the time. I did 15 minutes before, 15 minutes after, and then I just had to move the time to like 30 minutes different.
Okay, so you moved it 30 minutes. Okay. So maybe the agent did their job. Yeah. And nobody's going to get in trouble. We're going to listen and learn from this, but oftentimes the experience has been, hey, there's something they've been using, and I don't know, you know, we've told them not to, but it's hard to give, but they just put you on a wait list. Next thing you know, even though technically we have assigned all the resources for that little period of time and we need to expand the window, It's just a lot easier just to give the customer the time they want and let the scheduling team and then the dispatch team and the DS service hope that Vanessa will take a Lyft or an Uber and we can move on.
Well, but yeah, that's what I was saying.
I just want customers
but
to
that
be
was making me leave work early because I can't leave really to after one. So I'm just going to have to negotiate that tomorrow because it is making me leave 35 minutes before the time I get off work. Anyway, I just wanted to mention
belabor
to
the
you.
Point. I'm with you. I'll just say we're going to look into it, but I do want customers to know, and I've been saying it for years and years, but the scheduling window is going to be enforced more and more as time goes on because the ridership is growing and Metro Access eventually has to look a lot more like a train or a bus. And that means we're going to be sharing rides and customers just have to kind of get ready for that. But we're trying to do everything we can to make sure that experience is not a negative one. And that we do everything on our part to ensure progressive routing to the greatest extent possible.
Yeah. And thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So I to be a little bit liberal and hoping that individuals would take the courtesy that there are multiple people in need for tonight and that we are approaching our public comment. And I want everyone to have an opportunity, and we have allocated time for people to speak within a reasonable amount of time. So we have at least four more people on the committee under this topic.
I wait to a couple public comments.
Very well, Rico. I do not want this to feel like I'm having to shorten the time. But unfortunately, if I have to pull it back, that's what I'll have to do. Thank you, Rico, Sarah, and then Patrick.
Okay, I'll try to make this super fast. Mr. Blake, did you want to know the name of the company specifically that I've been talking about? If so, I can get with you offline about that. And then second, when we're talking about this contract that's out for bid, I'm assuming that's for a bunch of different things and not just for an app. Is that for a new scheduling platform that will hopefully use AI and maybe take some of the burden off of the schedulers to try to figure out, make things work a little, the puzzle pieces fit a little faster and easier for them? Thanks.
Great question. First answer is yes, we're going to reach out and just ask name. No, you know. And second question, no, this one is really just the telephone digital assistant support services. The scheduling and dispatch software package is a completely separate solicitation package from what we're talking about in terms of digital support for the call center.
Okay, is that one going out sometime soon too, or that's just a totally different thing? That's on a different schedule?
Totally different schedule and different strategies behind how that will be played out, but we'll share with you all as details emerge.
It'd be me, Mr. Blake. I cannot hear you.
Oh, the gentleman,
I think he stopped talking.
Yeah, stop. I'm trying to be quick. I'm sorry. Yes, that was my answer. Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. So you're done. Hey, very well, Patrick. Thank you, Sarah.
Senior white male, green polo shirt on. Mr. Blake, 307th Street Southwest, which is your headquarters building, is that usable by Tim now?
Tarian, do we have any update on that? Because the chairman tried to book a trip to there, and Tim didn't recognize where his paycheck was coming from. he didn't understand the address. So I sent that. This might have been during, I know last week when something else was happening, but did you hear from Ms. Anderson or anyone about that particular address?
I'm sorry, you're talking to her. Yeah.
I'm sorry. She is on the call. Allison, can you provide an update on that?
I can. So we sent that up to Replicant to address what was happening was it was reading it as 307th Street, not 307th Street. So I will have to follow up with them because I don't believe I've received a formal response back from them as to whether or not it is now resolved. So I will wrap back around and get that information.
Very good. Thank you for that. Another quick question. I've been notified by people that they, when they want to leave Tim and go to an agent, they get cycled back around at least 3 or 4 times, 5 times, asking the same questions: what's your birth date, what's your number, all that sort of thing. Has that been fixed so that when someone says agent the first time around, they get transferred to an agent?
No, we haven't changed that. Now, a couple of things I would say on that. That part is likely not going to change. You know, say agent once and you immediately go to agent. I don't think, in my opinion, in my experience, you should necessarily have to say the birthday and start all over again. But the agent is trained to be, for the lack of a better word, persistent in encouraging the customer to share with Tim. What is it that they really need and want so that Tim can try to help and resolve the situation? So I would say the fix is not to is to not let a customer go to an agent the minute they say agent or press zero, but the fix should include not having the customer be persistent without sounding robotic, if you will, and having the customer keep putting in his or her date of birth. So we'll follow up with the company on that, unless Ms. Anderson or Ms. Williams Hall has any update on that. But the persistence is not going away at the moment. I've just got to say that for the record, Mr. Chairman. And that's, you know,
I don't
again.
know that that's the best decision, but going
Yes,
back
sir.
to my call when I said 300 7th Street Southwest and it kept cycling me back 4 times, I was
Yes,
giving
sir.
it the right answer all the time and it still couldn't process it. Why do I have to repeat myself 4 or 5 times? When I get to the agent or to the human person, I'm frustrated. And they deserve better than that, and the system deserves better than that. I don't know how, I think people are still hearing that. That's all I'm
I concur. I hear you. And again, not we're going to look into that, as Allison said, but who knows? Maybe through a competitive process, we get a system that recognizes what you're saying the first time, or at least the second time, and understands what you're saying. So we're not saying it's the company or the product. What we're saying is persistence has to be a part of it, and I respect your position on our decision on that. But persistence with an improved product perhaps could help resolve this situation that you reported to us in a much faster, more professional way.
Right. It may be my Boston accent, sir.
No, well, but we've got to work on that, and especially in an international city like DC.
What's
But
that?
again,
Yeah. No, I
the
know.
first thing the agent should know is who's paying him. And if he doesn't know the address of who's paying him, that's a problem. So we got to teach him about that. Yeah.
Tell Hal. Straighten up. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Mr. Blake. We are at public comment, and a few are committees. They will go second. Public will go first. And then, if we have time, we'll circle back to any relevant matters. So, first we have Tim Jones. Public comment, your first time.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, I'm going to move a little quickly because I have a lot of things to mention to you just on experiences I've had. So first of all, I would love to be able to book trips on this app, on the My Transit Manager app, because I'm on the go a lot, and I don't know if there are any other blind callers on this line, but I'll just tell you, the website is not the most accessible to VoiceOver on the iPhone. And especially if you're riding in a Metro Access vehicle, the old ones in particular with the theater style captain's chairs, you probably know that it's a bumpy ride. And so when you're trying to bump, when you've already got the bumps in the road to deal with, you don't want to deal with an inaccessible website. And sometimes you're forced, based upon your job, to get your trips booked on the go because you're just too busy to go home and sit at a computer to do it. Secondly, There have been a few times that I've had situations where Uber drivers can't find me through the links that I've been given, or I can't reach the driver, or the no drivers accept the call, and it says no drivers available. And as was just mentioned, with the very high difficulty, a lot of times the TIM assistant can't help me with abilities ride problems. It's best with Metro Access vehicles, and so I don't want to have to sit there and have to give it all of my information just to hear it say, "I can't help you with this request. I'm going to transfer you to someone who can." And then I have to wait on hold and start all over again. And meanwhile, the clock's ticking for me to get to my destination on time. So there have been a few times that I've just thrown up my hands and booked an Uber ride at my own expense. And of course, it was in the middle of rush hour, and the ride was well over $100 because of that. So I'd like to request that maybe. It seems like I have a lot of issues with Ubers when they're booked through Metro Access, so maybe we could use some of those extra funds that they're taking out of our Easy Pay accounts to give the Ubers a little bit more, so that basically if you book a trip through Abilities Ride, it ends up being about the same fare as if it were a Metro Access ride. I understand they're moving in that direction. Thirdly, as I already mentioned, allow the AI assistant to get us to humans more quickly with the abilities ride situations. Sorry, I'm sorry, my display is moving. We'll have it. I specify. Let's see. What is this last one here? Allow customers. I'd like to request that we allow customers. To specify in their profiles what kind of trip providers they wish to have for Abilities Ride, instead of having to put that information in the trip itinerary, because I've noticed Metro Access copies that information to the driver, and sometimes drivers get confused when they see that and seem to think the trip is suspicious and don't take it. So I've had a lot of people accept a trip and then turn right around and reject it again. So, those are my things, and back to all of you.
You, Tim, have any comments? We're just taking the information in, because I have a bunch of people. I have at least almost four or five people who need to speak. Okay, so here's our order of things. We have phone number ending in 3245. Then we have Amanda Hillman. Then we have Janice Samuel. Then we have Rico Dancy and Vanessa Cole, unless another public comment comes up, which will bump a committee member back.
I'm
Three,
sorry, I
two, four,
can't put my
five. Huh?
hand up.
No, I
I'm
got you.
sorry, I
Are you
can't
three,
put
two,
my.
four, five?
No, I'm Gerald Barnes.
Okay, I will roll you in after Janice Samuel.
Thank you.
Sure enough, Mr. Barnes. 3245, one more call. I will circle you back around. Amanda.
Yes, good afternoon. African American female. I am calling about the transit management app, and what I have found is that a lot of my trips have been missed or late because the transit management app shows the time, the window that the trip is supposed to arrive, and I'm ready, and then it, ends up being late, and I'm still waiting, still waiting. Meanwhile, it's telling me the driver is X number of minutes away, X number of miles away, or what have you. I've had the trip, the transit management app specifically say the driver is 0 minutes away, but the miles are like 4.9 miles away, which means something's not reading right, I guess, in the GPS or whatever. And meanwhile, I'm late for my appointment because the time for the driver to arrive is well past my window and often well past my drop-off appointment time. When I call the Metro Access call center, they keep telling me, oh, yeah, the driver's coming at X amount of time. I said, but according to the app, he should already be here because it's 0 minutes away. And they'll tell me something like, oh, no, he's 12 miles away. So something's not jiving between the GPS, the transit management app, and my phone or whatever. So can someone please look into that to see what's happening? In the end, they end up sending me an Uber because they find that they have no idea where the driver actually is. And in one case, they told me, no, the driver has you on board right now. I'm like, no, I'm still in my house. So someone, please look into that.
Ms. Hillman, we'll definitely have someone look into that. Mr. Blake, Ms. And since that's on his side, we'll work that. We'll look into that. That's Amanda Hillman. We'll get your ID number offline.
Thank you.
Sure enough. Next, we have Janice Samuel. Janice, you will still have priority. I will circle back to you if you're. I'm going to give you one more call.
Oh,
Janice
my
Samuel.
apologies. I apologize. I thought I was
I
talking
can hear you
away.
now.
Okay.
Nope, go ahead.
I wanted to follow up on my previous public comment requesting if it was permissible for businesses, shopkeepers, houses of worship, for them to replicate the Metro branding on sidewalk signs where they've indicated that rideshare or Metro Access vehicles can drop off and pick up riders. That's my first follow-up question. And then understanding that in July we're going to the $3 per ride fare for the accessibility rides. I just wanted to get some, and I apologize if this was clearly stated in the past. In the past, when our rides were free, did WMATA receive a grant to pay for that so that our rides were free? I find it hard to believe that WMATA was just doing it out of the, generosity of their hearts. And if so, then did they not apply for a continuous grant or were they denied? And the $3 earlier public comment said that the money was going to Uber. Is it going to Uber or it, are the $3 fares it will be paying, will they be going to WMATA? Those are my two questions.
I'll be real
Okay.
quick on this. I think this is really important. We weren't doing it out of the generosity of our hearts. We did not receive a grant of any type. They were doing it out of the generosity of the heart of Chris Blake. No, but seriously, what we did is I looked at the business model, I looked at our expenses, I looked at the theory that customers, if given an opportunity, may elect to use their, as I say, their feet, their wheels, their canes to try something different. And the way we encourage that, part of the encouragement, like a Black Friday sale or something to that, effect, is let's give a fare that is irresistible, but let's see if customers would actually try to utilize the service. And as they utilize the service, we make certain business decisions that help offset the fact that there was no fare being collected. So that's how the free fare came about. The fare theoretically and technically is still going to be free. You're paying a $3 fee for platform access, similar to, I don't know if you remember when American Airlines pioneered the use of a computerized booking system. They did it, but there was a little fee you may not have paid attention. Many of us didn't. But on a lot of services, you're paying a platform fee So there's still no fare technically, but that money is not going to Uber or any of the providers. That money is coming directly to WMATA.
To WMATA to pay for the platform fee.
Correct. The
Okay.
platform fee, yes.
Okay. And then the sidewalk signage.
So the sidewalk signage, I haven't gotten necessarily approval from one for one individual entity or another. I think the best thing to do moving forward is if there if a, if an entity is going to put up signage, instead of utilizing and again, this doesn't have to be the final decision, but instead of necessarily utilizing a Metro Access logo or a Metro logo, if there's a signage, just right, Metro Access stop. As you point out, other places they utilize, you go to an airport in any town, they call it ride share. They may say Uber, they may say Lyft, but generally they use the term ride share. But you don't see necessarily the Uber logo or the Lyft logo, you see the words themselves. So I would first encourage just use the word. If they say this is going to be the Metro Access stop for their location, I would start off with just developing a sign that says Metro Access or Metro Access stop, as
Right,
opposed
right,
to
right. Yeah,
necessarily.
it's understood that they could do that. I just thought that the symbol would be more easily recognizable. So, we can,
We'll still talk about it. Please, let me have it. I'll have the note and I'll give you definitely more update. This is June, right? Yeah, so we're not at the August. So I'll definitely have something at the July AAC meeting, the full meeting, with an update on this.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful. And I wonder if part of that conversation can be about what Sandy has been referencing from Mach as well, the pickup and drop off reference terminology. I wonder if that led to any signage as well. I know that when I saw such a sign, I was out of town and I think it actually just said paratransit stop. And I was I think I was in Las Vegas or somewhere. So it's interesting what we can do with that. So Mr. Blake, we look forward to your feedback on that one at the AAC, the July AAC meeting. Gerald.
Okay, good evening, everyone. My first one, switched to my second one. My first one now is that I've been talking with the Smithsonians, and they would be very interested in getting that kind of feedback for their access for people with disabilities to have a spot in their particular places. So I would like to connect Mr. Blake and the Smithsonians if you have not already spoken with them. In that regard, and just I can give them that language, but it would be much better coming from you, I think, if that would be okay on the signage.
We can get
Yes,
you some conversation.
I'm open to that kind of conversation. Yes.
Okay. And my second situation is working with the Uber in the ability ride segment, and it only happens at my home. The Uber is pinged to go to the rear of my house for some strange reason, and all notes and comments say 1408 Otis Street. Don't come over my house, y'all. Front entrance. And it's in the notes, and it's also Otis Street, not Otis Alley. And I want to know if that can be addressed, because I try to call, I complain, and also ask, but no feedback has come back saying, other than call a number that I leave a message and then never get a response back.
Before you address that, Mr. Blake, I have a question, Gerald. Does that also take place when you book your own personal Ubers or Lyfts or any form of ride share? Do they also come to the rear entrance?
No.
They come to the correct location on the front. So
Right.
this is strictly, so this issue you're identifying strictly occurs when utilizing the abilities ride, Uber or Lyft, and through their
Colonial
pronouns,
travel,
only
taxis, they come to the front, and common sense says a person is at the front of the house and not in the alley.
Very
So
well.
I don't know
I
what could help them out.
So, Mr. Blake, you'll research that one.
So we'll share that with Uber to see what's going on. We addressed that with one of the AEC members, well, several of them. So we'll take a look at it. This is the first time I'm hearing about it with Mr. Barnes's address, but we'll definitely share it with them and take a look.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gerald. Okay. Before I jump into brief statements from our committee members here at public comment, I need to ask Dr. Butler, do we have anybody else? I know we had the 3, 2, 4, 5, so I didn't circle back to them. Anybody else under public comment specifically who are public?
Outside of the in number ending at 3245, I do not see any other hands, public comment hands at this
Very
time.
well. I will give public comment 3, 2, 4, 5. One more call for you if you want to make a statement during public comment. Okay, but anyone who doesn't have a chance to speak can always write to metroaacchair@wmata.com, or you can call into the 202-962-1100 if you wish to make any comments for our records. Rico, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. So I was in Cleveland last week. They use a call EC Fare that people who go pay the fare using their smartphones. They have it on buses, trains, everywhere. I try to use the app trying to book my trip, it bounced me out, Mr. Blake. And I'm trying to figure out why it's doing that. And that's my comment.
Now, you were saying Cleveland or Cleveland Park Station?
Cleveland, Ohio have it called EC Fare. They
Okay.
use it, and I would text you the picture when I was on the transit, and I took a picture of it, and they use it called EC Fare. Most transit system use that.
Okay, so you're asking why Metro Access isn't using it?
Nope.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed the question. I'm sorry.
Nope, Metro Access is not using it. Paratransit and Cleveland are using it, and
Right.
both. And I was there last week.
I'm with you. So we use a SmartTrip card, and we have a program called and a tool called Easy Pay. But maybe I'm not understanding. Are you suggesting we switch, or maybe help me out to understand what you're suggesting for
I
us?
will contact
Yes.
you offline so I can tell you more information about it.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rico. Okay, we
Hi,
have a person.
this
We
is three
have a
four
person
five.
who 3, 2, 4, 5. Hold for just a second. Hold for just a second. You
Okay.
will have priority 3, 2, 4, 5. Then I will have to go to Yvonne as a public comment. And if time permits, we'll go to Vanessa. If we don't, we'll have to work offline. 3, 2, 4, 5. Go ahead.
Yes, sorry. I have almost never joined this call in 15 years of Metro Access. And so I didn't know how to unmute myself. I kept raising my hand, on raising, and hoping somebody would say, "Hey, here's how you do that." Anyhow, after so many years taking Metro Access, the thing that got me to finally join this call is my extreme frustration with this new digital assistant. And I appreciate when y'all are saying, "Hey, we're not going to promise you the moon when you're not going to get it, you know, and that, okay, you're going to require persistence, but it's almost demeaning when, you know, we know when it is a situation that is urgent, that cannot be handled by an AI agent. In those cases where, as has happened to me about 6 times, because I live on Irving Street, which happens to be also where the hospital is, and a lot of drivers, I'm just going to call it, are careless, and rather than double checking the address, they just say, oh, it must be the hospital, and they arrive the trip, and then I have to say agent for a minimum of 2 minutes, while meanwhile, you know, the driver is there getting later, which is late for me, late for the next passenger, and there's nothing that an AI agent is going to do that I can see to help in those cases. And I feel like you need to trust us as passengers. And when we say we need an escape valve to a live person, which is often, you know, I do everything I can by the app, et cetera. So I'm only calling when I know it's something that I need to get a live person to help with. So, and I appreciate someone else saying, well, you know, it doesn't do the live agent any service, because we are, you know, we are very frustrated by the time that, you know, you finally allow us to talk to that person. And we've just lost 2 minutes of everybody's time, including, you know, the passengers that come after us. So I could speak more, but that is my main beef right now, that is just causing me a lot of grief.
That has been stressful for many. Thank you, 3245. We will pause. We are at time, 6 o'clock. We will lose our ASL interpreters. So, Maggie, give us our closing commentary. Ms. Kaufman, Vanessa, I apologize that we will not be able to address you officially on the call. If a Metro representative wishes to hold and address your question, they can, but obviously they are not required at this time. Dr. Butler.
I don't have a question. Sure. My question was answered.
Okay. So thank you to all the committee members, Metro staff, guests, interpreters, and members of the public for your participation this evening. If you have questions, comments, and concerns, please send those to Metro AAC Chair at WMATA.com or by phone at 202-962-1100.
Okay. Our next meeting, for those who did not hear it at the beginning, will be for the Metro. Our next actual meeting is the AAC meeting, and that will be the
6th of July.
Yep, that will be on the 6th of July. And, of course, the Metro Access Subcommittee will be on the 20th. This meeting will be adjourned.
So like moved.
Thank you, Paul. Ms. Kaufman, are you still on the call? Yvonne?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to add to Mr. Blake's investigation of the Uber pickup from the rear of any residence or building. Christopher Jackson works for the Library of Congress, and he gets picked up by Uber at 9 in the evening. They want to pick him up from the rear of that building. Once he walks out of that building in the evening, if Uber is not there or they drop him or what have you, he has difficulty getting back in that building in the evening. If it's inclement weather, the same thing occurs. Why can't they pick them up from the front of the building is where we make the reservation? In other words, he gets picked up at 101 Independence Avenue, not D Street or E Street or what have you. So I just wanted
Ms. Kaufman, let's
to that list.
So let's clarify.
Ms. Kaufman.
So let's clarify two things. You did identify the address that you're referring to is the 101 Independence Avenue Southeast location
Yes.
of the Library of Congress. And number two, these occurrences are taking place during Metro Access booked Uber trips. Has that also been taking place, much like I asked Mr. Barnes, has that also been taking place on traditional book it yourself Uber trips, or do you know?
It's taking place on Uber trips. He travels Uber all the time now, and
So no
it's through Metro Access,
Metro
and those
Access rooms.
reservations are to 101 Independence Avenue.
I'm with
And
you. I just
they
wanted clarification that it
okay.
was the ones that are being booked by Metro Access and
That
not
is
the
correct.
personal ones.
That
Okay.
is correct.
Okay, Ms. Kaufman. Thank you very much. Everyone else who's still on the call, thank you for your time. Thank you for coming out. And we hope to see you next month at our traditional
Last.
AAC.
Good night. I have it,
Goodbye.
Ms. Kaufman. Thank you.
Church.